Now, what I want to talk about today, and it kept coming to my mind, it's the power of faith in our perspective. If we have faith and in our perspective of things, it really makes a difference in our lives. Getting older, you learn a lot about perspective. Because things that used to be so simple, like tying your shoelaces, used to be so simple. Now it's a maneuver to get my foot up there far enough to get my shoe on it to tie the lace. Glasses. I never used to have to wear glasses, but yet now they get stronger and stronger and stronger. They're at the point now, if I do it just right, I can start fires, you know, with those lenses. And so it's not just our physical body. Sometimes we have to have a spiritual glasses so that we see things in the right perspective. And that's what I want to talk about, is in that spiritual perspective. We don't want to see things through doubt, or we don't want to see things through circumstances or through fear. We want to see things through faith and trust in God. And it's interesting how easy it is for people to see the same thing and yet come out with a total different meaning. Amen. And so I want to read a scripture about that in a minute. The people of Israel were the chosen people. God had told Abraham, you're going to go to a land. I'm going to give you this land. It's going to be yours forever. Abraham took off walking in faith. Did Abraham ever possess the land? Scripture tells us no, he never did. He never did. His family, in fact, went off to Egypt and were slaves for 400 and something years. And they got out of the slavery, and then they headed for the promised land. They get to this place, and Moses sends out spies, 12 of them. And they're very dedicated. They go out there and do what they need to do. And they come back in with a report. And Numbers 13, 27 through 33 gives the report that they gave. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you send us, and it does flow with milk and honey. That was one of the promises. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Okay, so they come back and they say, it's a land of milk and honey. In fact, here's some of the fruit. We brought it back with us. And one report says they had to carry it, grapes on a stick between them. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw a descendant of Anak there, the Amalekites and the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. So they're saying, but it's a great land, but there's too many people there. There's people we can't stand. They're big people, and they give lists of all these people. But then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Now, Joshua said the same thing. So it was 2 to 12, 2 to 10. And here they are. They've seen this land that God has promised them, and they come back, and 10 of them say, it's not going to happen. And 2 of them are saying, yeah, let's go. We can do this. We can take this land. But the men who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are. How do you know that they're stronger? Did you have an arm wrestle with them? Have you had a fight with them? Have you had anything that would show you that they are stronger? No. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land that we explored devours those people living in it. The land devours the people living in it. If the land devours the people, how are their people still there? And if you lived in a land that was devouring everyone around you, would you stick around in it? Would you stay? So that's a lie. And that's one of the things that happens. In fear, false evidence appearing real. That's what people like this do. They give false evidence as if it is real. They make statements. The land devours the people living in it. All the people we saw there are of giant size. All the people there are of giant size. They're all Goliaths, is basically what it's saying. Okay? We saw the nepotism, N-E-P-H, that person. Thank you. There, the descendants of Anak came from that people. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We looked like grasshoppers. What's that? That's self-image. How many of us have self-images that are really great? What made the difference between the two? They went there. The same 12 saw the same land. And 10 of them are saying, no, we can't do it. And 2 are saying, yeah, God's told us to go take the land. We can do it. But they're convinced in their own minds that they're not going to be able to do it. So what makes the difference? Well, we know that God gave his word. And in Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. In other words, I told you it's going to happen. So it's going to happen. Things may happen that way. And so that was in Matthew 24:35. The land devours them, people that live there. A lie. People who are in that frame of mind, they want other people to be just as miserable as they are. Have you ever noticed that? Misery loves company. Misery loves company. Fear helps people spread the bad news and make things worse. They will take the situation that happened and they'll actually make it worse because of fear. But we got to remember that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus still sits on the throne. We're going to have situations in our life that'll happen. And one of the times when the disciples were with Jesus, they were in a boat. And you remember the story? Jesus went and took a nap in the bottom of the boat. And the water started coming into the boat. Where does the water go first? To the bottom of the boat. But Jesus is asleep. So they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, don't you care? And they wake him up and say, don't you even care that we're going to drown? If Jesus is in the boat, are you going to drown? What's a clue? They didn't have an idea who he was and what he could do. Don't you care that we're going to sink? Well, Jesus is in the boat. He could turn the boat into a submarine if he wanted. And so the boat could sink and they'd be just fine. They don't realize Jesus is in the boat. And that caused a lot of problems in those people's lives. But it also causes problems in our life. We forget that Jesus is in our boat. And Jesus is there giving us strength. And some people say, but Dee, don't you realize what the circumstances are? Yeah, I do. We live with it. And God gives us strength. Did I love the report that I got that I had cancer? No. But I'm not in panic mode. Because Jesus is Lord. And even if I die, Jesus is still Lord. And my relation with Jesus hasn't changed at all. Oh, but then to add to it, AFib. Oh, panic time? No. But Isaiah 54 says, weapons formed against you will not prevail. I didn't use the whole scripture because it's longer than that. But the important thing is that God tells us weapons will be formed against us. There are going to be people who don't like us. There will be people who say things about us. But you know what? It says here what? Weapons will be formed, but they won't work. They won't work. They won't prevail. But a lot of it has to do with how we see ourselves. I went through a period of my youth when I was younger. I had terrible self-esteem. I got over that when I met Bill when I was 18 because he treated me different than everybody else that I had been in there. But we have to remember that God chose us, and we're here today because God chose us. Amen. And we're here because God wants us to be here at this time in this place. I heard a pastor talking one time, and he was talking about how he was going to get invited to speak at a conference. And so he went to the conference, he had his talk all prepared, and they were getting ready, and it was going to be his time shortly. And they were queuing him in, and they said, "Now see that red box on the camera?" And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "When that lights up, you're speaking to the world." And he thought, "You wait till now to tell me that I'm going to be speaking to the world? Me, who sweats?" He's African-American. He says, "I sweat, I spit, and I'm going to be doing that in front of the world?" And he thought, "I've got to change what my talk is about. I've got to hurry and change that." And the Holy Spirit said, whoa. Who did they invite to speak? Me. Why are you trying to change the talk when they ask to hear you and you're going to deny them that?" And it was like, oh, okay. So we are created in the image of God. Amen. We are created in the image of God. And God wants us that way. And God made you to be the way you are. And so you better be the way you are. And God's going to deal with certain things. We're not grasshoppers. We're not small. We have that faith-filled perspective. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." What are we supposed to be anxious about?
Nothing.
Do not be anxious about anything. If you have a situation and it falls under the category of anything, you're not to worry about it. You're not to be anxious about it. You're not to sweat it. You just do it. And it's interesting how God works that way, because God can bring peace and calm. I spoke one time before 20,000 people. And so he says, "Were you nervous?" And it was like, no. Because God had already gave me what I was supposed to say. Another time, I don't know how many people I spoke to, because it was on the news, and it was on the main news. So it could have been 1 million. I didn't know I was going to be on the news. That helped a lot. But again, it was like, it was there. But we're supposed to pray about everything with thanksgiving. It's that attitude of gratitude. You got to have the attitude of the gratitude. You know, Scripture says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I like what it says in the Message. And like I said, I'm not a really great reader, but the Scripture says, "Let the redeemed say so." Okay, if you're redeemed, say so. Everybody here redeemed? Anybody not redeemed? Okay, don't see any hands. So you're not redeemed?
No, redeemed.
Oh, you are redeemed. Okay, I was going to say, boy, we got to talk. Okay. We got to talk. Okay. But anyway, in Psalms 107:4-9, I like what the Message says. It takes a while to get to what it did, but it says, he's talking to the people of Israel. He says, "Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, struggling and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion, Then in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. Sounds like the people of Israel coming out of Egypt, right? So, thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children that he loves. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So thank God for his marvelous love. He poured great, of water down parched throats, and the starved and the hungry got plenty to eat. Sorry about that. But he's saying, people were faithful. And when it happened, they got what they needed. But the question is, do you remember what your life was like before you got saved? What was your life like before you got saved? Or do you think that you were always ideal, sitting in church, praising the Lord, listening to the right kind of music and all that kind of fun stuff? I know I wasn't. I didn't grow up going to church. My family didn't. That wasn't something they did. I went because my friends did. And then Jesus got a hold of me. And it was like, oh. And I thought, I would never have imagined doing this. If you'd asked me what I was going to be in my life, this is what I would say. Not. When I was applying to go to school for respiratory therapist up at Weber, we had to take a class where we did all these psychological stuff to see if you were suited and what you were suited for and all this stuff. And at the end of the class, I learned three things. One, I learned that I would be good in the medical field. Two, I would be good in ministry. And I went, yeah, right. That's a no-no. And three, I had a secret. They had to draw a picture of a tree, and I had a hole in the tree. And they said, that represents a secret. And it's like, I don't know what that secret is, but I learned what it is. Remembering back at my life then, it was very different. I sounded like a sailor. I was skinny. If you're not what you should be or what you think you want to be, one thing to know for certain, you're not what you used to be. Amen. You are not what you used to be. You're different. Scripture says, I already read that, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So what's God promised for us? Because God made us a promise. Even though right now I'm preaching to the choir and two other people. I mean, three other, okay? But Scripture says that, you know, we're to walk in this perspective and see ourselves and see others the way that God sees us. The way that God sees us. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That Holy Spirit's going to bring a peace to your life that's incredible. Amen. And we have to rely on that peace. And Satan's going to try and throw things in there to show us that the land's too big, the people are too big, all this stuff. They were too big. The people of Israel walked around in the wilderness for 40 years. Then they went into the land. Jericho was just as big as it was before, maybe bigger. And they walked in there with an attitude of gratitude. They marched around it seven times, blew the trumpet, screamed, yelled, and it fell down. Oh my. It's not a big obstacle anymore, because God got involved and God takes care of obstacles. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If it's praiseworthy, do we have anything to praise God about? I do.
Constantly.
Constantly. Yeah. If we were praising God and raising and praising God all the time, people would be looking at us like we're really weird. Like, what's wrong with him? I was down here cleaning yesterday, trying to, and I was vacuuming the steps down here, and I got down to the bottom, there's a lot of dust, and I had this little portable vacuum, and I'm vacuuming away, and I get through, and I look up, and there's this cloud of dust. The filter wasn't on the vacuum. So it was sucking it in and blowing it right back out, but I had the vacuum back here, and it's like, okay, I'm not filtering out the garbage very well, and what I was doing, so it was like, oh my gosh. So I went to IKEA to get rollers. I'm walking around IKEA and I'm singing, Jesus, Lamb of God. I won't sing anymore.
We'll sing it for you in a minute.
You guys will sing it for me. Yay, praise God. But 2 weeks I talked about what? A holy roar. And I had to raise your hands, right? Are you embarrassed now to do it? Okay, do it. Raise your hands in the air and praise God. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. What do you praise God for? Keep your hands up there. Praise God for something in your life. Out loud. Praise God for the Scott in my life and the years we've had together. I got a mic so I get over to it. But, you know, we can thank God for all of those things. And I was going along driving out to IKEA, and I was thinking about something, and I thought, well, now if this happened, I would pray every time right before it happened. And the Spirit says, then why don't you do it now? But, Lord, I'm praying right now. But like Kay said, we do it all the time. And it's like, oh, smack me, Lord. And I was laughing in my car because, like, got me, you know. It's like, you're right, you got me there, Lord. We can do it all the time. And we should be. Praising God. And not caring who hears you or who sees you, like Kay said. I'm walking along singing. And if people heard me, they probably thought I was weird. But it was fun. I thought, oh, okay. But we have that opportunity to praise God all the time. I was watching something else on TV and they said, raise your hands. And I just raised my hand in the living room, in my TV room. And I'm praising God. And I thought, this actually feels nice. So I'm doing it more than I used to. And I challenge you, when you're praising God, praise God. Think about it. If God has not done anything in your life, and God has not taken care of anything in your life, then don't do it. If God has not done anything in your life, don't praise him. Now, I think you're pretty hard-pressed to find that God's not done anything in your life. But praise God according to or better than what God has done for you in your life. Change your praise from just thanks God to thank you, Lord. Amen. If you're here and I don't know it, every now you'll hear me go, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's like, okay, I like it. If you hear me doing that, just put up with it. Or join in, right? That's perfect. Join in. Because two of us, let's go. Here we go. Here we go. You ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good. Because that's it. We're praising God. We have the faith perspective in what we're doing. And we're persevering. Yeah, I'd like to have 45 people here. But people are off sick and it's a holiday and different reasons. But it'll happen. We've been in situations where we've had very few people before, and then we come back because we're supposed to, and we've got to persevere in faith. Persevere in faith and express our faith and our trust and our love. And once we do that, we start praising God and we're not worried about it, it changes your attitude, it changes how you do things. And it's good. And God is good all the time. All the time. Thank you. We have it. So, are you ready? You think I'm going to have you yell again, right? No. What I'm going to have you do is close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? What is it you're trying to tell me? Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you. I thank you for your presence in our lives. I thank you that you're so patient, especially with me and getting things done. And Lord, I thank you for your calling upon this church, this calling to bring the love of Jesus Christ to the world, the calling to go out and talk to our friends, talk to our neighbors, talk to different people around and share your love with them, Lord God, and to raise our hands and our voices in praise to you because you are worthy of praise. Lord, help us in our times of weakness to be strong, because your word tells us that in our weakness is when you strengthen us and you lift us up, when we are the weakest point, not in our pride, but in our humility. So, loving God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.